Oh my gosh, ladies and gentlemen, Rimrock is in the house. We've got our friend Kathy Cullen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kathy. And of course, we have Dr. Malcolm Horn.
That always feels weird.
I know. It doesn't feel weird for me. It feels special to be able to say
special.
That.
That's
yes, exactly. Just excited to have you ladies here. What are we talking about, Kathy?
We are talking about we survived symposium and had a wonderful symposium.
Yes.
I know. I can't believe it's been almost a month already.
It's been a month?
Close to it. A couple weeks. Yeah. Great turnout. People were just amazed at all of the interaction of all of the speakers. It was just amazing. So that was last month. Now we're on to this month. Drug Take Back Day again.
Yes.
We do that twice a year. So we are once again partnering with the DEA to just get all those yucky drugs out of everybody's house.
And that's why it's serious, too. A lot of people have been, over the years, have said, they're like, oh, this is just Kathy's way to make money on the side, and like, this is a whole shady thing and stuff.
No. Yeah.
And she resells these, and I want you to know the DEA is involved, and they don't allow for any shenanigans here. This is all properly handled.
That's right.
And done well.
We basically just get to do the legwork at these, at the pickup sites. We actually just, you know, meet the people, take them, and then they take care of all of it. And remember that there's two sites, like always, the one on Lewis at the Elks Club. They've been doing that for a long time, and this is our second one out at First Interstate Bank in the Heights. Thank you again, First Interstate, for letting us use your parking lot. And we just want the public to be safe. We just want them to have a nice, easy way to get rid of that. No questions asked. You come in. We had lots of people that unfortunately maybe lost a loved one and had to go clean out their house, and they come in and they're just shocked at all of the things that they found in the medicine cabinet, and they just love the fact that it's a place that they can just go, it's done.
Take
it's out of here.
Take it out of my hands. And what are some of the reasons you don't want to dispose of them in other ways?
Well,
there's
a lot
of reasons.
Right. You don't want to just, you know,
you
dump them down the toilet,
right?
You know, you have, you know, high fish. You know,
that used to be. Yeah, that used to be the thing.
Used
back
to be the
day,
thing to do.
Yeah.
You just want to get them out of people's hands because you don't want them in your house. We've talked about this before. You just don't want them there. You know, people, even we talked a lot about realtors that do open houses. People go to open houses to see what's in somebody's medicine cabinet.
I know.
Get it out of there.
I just had an open house and was warned of that. They're like, you need to, you know, make sure there's no prescription pills and stuff.
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. And even just non-prescription people bring all kinds of things, just even that are outdated. They don't want to just throw them away. Mm-hmm. Just bring them in. And we usually hand out candy, so it's kind of, we say, you know, fun pills for bad pills.
Yeah, you give us the ones you need to get rid of, we'll give you something fun that's not a danger.
That's right.
How about this? I just thought of it. You do the Elks Club a lot. The Elks Club is for sale now. Why doesn't Rimrock purchase that and make that the West End Rimrock facility?
Mm.
It has tennis courts. It has room.
Hey, there you go. Let's talk with Lynette on that. We need to get Lynette
calls.
In here.
Lynette,
make some calls. Make that happen.
Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if it's just for activities. We can just take from the Rimrock down here and take people over, play some tennis, hang out in the lounge,
stress
watch
management.
A movie.
Stress management. Go. Yeah. Okay.
And you have a location for the drug take back every year.
Excuse me. I have to go raise some money.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
I'm going to make some calls.
That's right.
Malcolm, what are you up to out there at Rimrock? You're just saving lives and helping people.
All the day. Actually, it was interesting. I just got back from the NADAC conference, the annual conference in Orlando. So the National Association of Alcohol and Drug Abuse Counselors.
Okay.
And I represent their Northwest region. And so I was at their annual conference. And I learned some really cool new things. Like, I'm a nerd. I'm a dork. I love learning about the brain. I love fascinating stuff like that. And so I learned some really cool things that were kind of like light bulb moments for me. One of the things that comes up a lot of times with substance use disorders, people talk about, well, it's a choice. And that doesn't necessarily fall in line with the idea of it being a disease model. Like, nobody would choose to be an addict. Like, you talk to someone, like, that doesn't sound like a fun time. Like, you don't choose that. But yet, in some ways, we go, well, yeah, you chose to pick up the drug. You chose to do that. And I've always taught patients that, okay, to some degree, sure. But once you get treatment, once you get some education, once you get some resources, you need to choose recovery. You need to choose, you know, making healthier choices for yourself. And it can be a real struggle for them. So one of the things that was kind of a light bulb moment for me at this last conference is one of the presenters, he talked about, you choose to pick up the joint or the beer or the whatever. But what you don't choose is the craving. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. And really talking about, you know, one of the big components of substance use disorder is stress. So it's funny that you mentioned the Elks Club and stress management. stressors. Stressors are really what lead to people relapsing. Inability to effectively manage stress. And, you know, stress leads to craving, right? Think about it. If you've had a bad day, right? You're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to go home and eat a cookie or have a beer or watch Netflix for 4 hours or whatever it is. You know, we all deal with stressors by, you know, having a craving to go do something to make that uncomfortable stress go away, right? And whether the stress is a bad day at work, fighting with your husband, money, whatever the stress is. And so the stress leads to that craving. And so if you think about like an itch, I mean, I could tell you, okay, you know, Kathy, next time your foot itches, you can't scratch it, right? Kathy could do it. She could make the choice to not scratch her foot. But oh my gosh, you're going to be really irritable because your foot itches.
Especially because Kathy has a bad athlete's foot.
Right, she does, right? I mean, we really need to do an intervention on her.
Yes, we do.
I mean, honest to goodness. So, I mean, that made a lot of sense to me. We're like, yeah, you don't choose necessarily to have an addiction because you don't choose the craving. And we all handle those cravings differently, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of substance use issues that really look at, you know, not only the genetic component, but your own susceptibility, your own resilience. I mean, some of us handle stressors really well. Some of us have a tolerance for that. Some don't.
Yeah.
And so really looking at that, and I thought that was a very interesting concept of, yeah, you don't choose the craving. And so it's literally like saying, okay, next time that you have the impulse to do something, you can't do it.
Are we getting better as a country and as a society of educating people about what addiction really is and that it is an illness? And then, or are we still, is it just going to be generational? I mean, like,
yes and no. I think in some ways we are getting better. I think in some ways, you know, quote unquote, the opioid crisis. You know, I say quote unquote because we talk about opioids being such a huge issue, and they are. I'm not saying they're not. They're a huge issue. But particularly here in Montana, but really across the country, methamphetamine is a much bigger bugger. Methamphetamine is a bigger issue. And one of the barriers with methamphetamine in particular is there isn't any medication to help with that craving. So opiates, you know, we have Suboxone, we have methadone, we have medications that can help with that physical craving that so often leads to relapse. With methamphetamine, we don't have anything. There isn't really any science that says this is a medication or something that can help with that. And so that is a huge issue. The other thing that it was funny, Kathy and I were talking about before we came in. Did you know that nicotine kills more people than all other substances combined?
That's wild. I knew it would be up there.
I had no idea it was that. But you know, if we leave this building today and we walk down the street and someone is sitting on the corner smoking or vaping, we don't think anything of it.
No, we just see
someone shooting up meth, we're like, oh my gosh. Okay, so when you ask about how are we doing as a society overall, well, we have a lot of legal substances, nicotine being one of them, that is a bigger bugger than the illicit substances. So I think it comes down to some of the legal things. You know, I don't want to jump on a soapbox, but you talk about...
Get on that
Remember
where you are.
It's way too early to get that agitated.
That's true. We have patience today.
Yeah, don't get me going on. But, you know, you talk about big pharma and big tobacco. As long as those types of lobbies have a lot of power in Washington, D.C., it's going to be really hard to change some of these things. So we can do all the education, all the prevention, all the drug take-back days we want. But until we change some of those systems, it's going to be kind of hard, right? So, you know, that's one of those things that I wish that we could change some of those systems. I wish that we could change some of that stigma. And one of the other, you know, stigma is a huge problem when it comes to substance use issue. I mean, people still, even though we're learning more and being able to accept that this happens to a lot of people, it doesn't discriminate. You know, it doesn't matter your socioeconomic class, everyone is susceptible. Even though we know that, there's still a lot of stigma out there. There's still a lot of, I don't want people to know that this is a problem for me. There's a lot of shame attached to it.
You don't see with other illnesses.
No.
You don't see a lot of people like going, oh yeah, I've been fighting cancer for 2 years and just didn't say anything because I was embarrassed.
Right. No, people don't say that, right? And until we can say, and you know, and part of that too is if we say, okay, so let's say, you know, if you get diagnosed with cancer and you choose to not treat your cancer, you know, you're really the only one who suffers. Your family maybe suffers because they watch you get sick and die. But really, it's just you suffering. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you have a substance use issue and you don't treat it, if I'm a taxpayer, I'm paying for you not managing your illness. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of that issue too, is that, and that's the truth. I mean, if you're frustrated with having to pay taxes, well, look at, you know, I don't remember how much it cost when we built some extra beds there at Yellowstone County Detention Center, but it was millions of dollars. And part of that was to accommodate this influx of people. And a lot of crimes are related to substance use issues. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a substance use issue. It's not just a mental health issue. It's a public health issue and it's a taxpayer issue. It's not a Republican issue or a Democrat issue. Mm-hmm. If you're paying taxes, this affects you. And so we really have to start talking about how do we change our system so that people can access care, so that there isn't that shame attached to it. And that comes from education, that comes from having these discussions. And honestly, it's maybe sounds bad, but because so many people now have family members or friends that have a substance use issue, people are a little bit more understanding. They're better able to say, you know, I know Kathy.
Yeah.
You know, I know that Kathy that's like doing all these crazy things when she's gacked out on meth, I know that's not the real Kathy. Mm-hmm. And so people are starting to see that. But I feel like the pendulum is going to keep swinging before it starts to come back.
Okay. Because that's what I'm hoping, because that's how I feel. It's like the more and more I become educated and informed just through life experiences, I understand it better. And I'm just, I feel like a lot of the people that don't understand it haven't experienced that.
Right.
Where, you know, if their mom had that issue, they're not going to go, oh, she's just drunk and she wants to drink and she's weak and she, you know, if you actually see it, then you go, oh, this is way bigger than I thought.
This is something different, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And one of the other things that really I think is that people don't understand is the brain. And we don't fully understand the brain. As much as we know about the brain, there is so much we just don't know. And if you talk about like medical science, you know, if we do, we like in medicine, we like quantifiable, measurable things. I'm going to take a picture of your tumor. I'm going to do a blood test. I'm going to see this. We like it measurable, quantifiable. And when it comes to the brain, even though we're getting really good at imaging it, we still don't have a good grasp. We could do a brain scan and go, okay, your frontal lobe isn't working so good. But I don't know. Is that because of a brain injury? Is that because of meth? Is that, what is that because of? I don't necessarily know. And even if I did, I can't necessarily say, okay, here is a treatment plan and we're going to have a good outcome. You know, medical things, even cancer that isn't treatable, we still know these are the things that we could do to try to address it.
Right.
But when it comes to substance use, I mean, I've had patients who have had everything thrown at them. They've had a psychiatrist, they've had day treatment, inpatient, outpatient, they've had everything and they still struggle. So that again comes down to that stigma of you've had treatment 8 times. What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
You know, well, so anyway.
Didn't work once. Oh, why are you going to go back?
Well, right.
And we liken it to when we were talking about like when you have a broken leg, well, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You have a protocol that's going to, you know, on 98% of the people, it's going to work the same way. And that's not how addiction treatment is. There's so many more variables. And especially as Malcolm talks about when you're talking about brain issues, we don't know what happened before they did their substances. What is, you know, it has to do with genetics. It has to do with all of those other, those factors that we can't always pinpoint that, yes, you take this program, it's going to work for everyone.
Exactly. Yeah. So I love when you got Rimrock on because I love all the info. It makes me sad, though, because I have a childhood best friend who's struggling with meth addiction. Mm-hmm. I just really want to help her out, and we're all so lost on what to do. That's rough, not just with meth. Meth especially, because I feel like it's so hard for people to understand that haven't done it. Whereas, you know, beer or alcohol,
like
it's
like,
we can relate to, like, I get you have a problem, you're different than me in that regard, but I understand what you're going through. Whereas meth, it's like, I don't even know how you do it. Where are you getting it? What is it doing? How does it feel like? So it is really tough with meth. I feel like so many people are lost other than go get help.
And methamphetamine is a bigger bugger because of the amount of, I guess I'll say it this way, the amount of dopamine that floods your brain. So when you think about, if you think about a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is really, really a lot, good. Okay, so the natural things like beer, food, sex, you're talking about maybe a 2 or 3 on the scale. Methamphetamine's about an 11. So it floods your brain with so much dopamine that nothing else is going to touch that.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that people keep, they get so hooked so fast is because your brain and the dopamine system is linked to survival. It's linked to a lot of those other things. So that part of your brain, I mean, gets hijacked for lack of a better term. And you just keep going for that. And you look insane, right? You look like, why would you do that? Why would you give up your kids or your job? Because that part of your brain that helps you assign value to those social cues isn't engaged.
That's why I say not even once. That's why I fell for the
not even once.
Dude,
right.
It's that, it sounds that dangerous.
Right.
Does that not even once work for, I know a guy named McLovin who's chosen to be celibate so he doesn't risk being a sex addict. Would you say that sometimes just avoiding this thing completely?
Just don't do anything that makes you feel good ever.
Because what if? Like, what if he is predisposed to be an addict?
Well,
poor McLovin. You know, you're just getting it all over the place.
Right. Well, you know, okay, so then don't drink water. Because water is into survival, right?
I am addicted.
Right?
So I will give it to you.
Like
I'm an addict.
Right? Let's be clear. I didn't choose to be celibate.
But it's a good, it's a still a good safety mechanism. Yeah.
So, I mean, and people say that anything that makes you feel good theoretically could be addicting. Well, okay, yes. But water is not going to give you as big of a dopamine rush as, say, a cigarette or meth or whatever.
The high off water is very weak.
Right. Unless you put something in your water. Now, if you want to sprinkle some things in your water, then it might be very special water.
That is true.
For now, it's just regular water.
Exactly.
Regular water.
Exactly. And going back to what And Angela said when she was on, one of the things that we continue to do is to talk about it, say something, ask them. We were talking, her analogy was, you know, if someone says that they're suicidal, boy, everybody's all over that. But if you have a friend that's doing drugs, sometimes you just want to walk away. And so as we continue to just be in your face, if you will, just open up those conversations. And if you don't know where to start the conversation, you call us, you call your counselor, you talk to your schools, you talk to, you know, the whole key to this whole thing is to talk to somebody and get the right information. Right?
And find somebody good. I mean, that's the other thing. If you talk to somebody who's ignorant and not in a negative way even, but doesn't understand, is like, oh, I'm just quit. Or I mean, that's not helpful. Find someone else. Don't stop and go like, I tried, it didn't work. I mean, go move in a different direction. Go to a faith person. Go to a Rimrock person. Go to
whatever
a family friend.
You,
go to a work friend. I mean, whoever you feel like can point you in the right direction. But yeah, make some moves.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's what people need to know is that as frustrating as it can be, there is hope. Mm-hmm. We do see recovery. You see people that recover. And I think that's one of the things I love about Rimrock is so many of our staff are in recovery. Mm-hmm. And so then that really gives patients hope. And we can say, hey, you know, if so-and-so can figure it out and get their life together, you can figure it out and get your life together. Because I think sometimes it does feel hopeless. I mean, I've had days like that where in the office, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know what, why am I here? And so I think it's important for us to remember that it can get better, but we have to make it work. We have to work together. We have to have doctors involved, the criminal justice system. We all have to work together in order to make this better.
It's definitely multifaceted. That's something we got to remember, too, about all of these issues. It's not as simple as a one thing or a, you know, one solution fixes all. Right. And people can get a hold of you guys. That's another good reminder.
Absolutely.
I mean, you guys are obviously experts. Somebody said, how easily accessible is treatment? Give them a call.
Absolutely.
Give us a call.
Give them a call.
Well, and we're just finishing, we just started Family Week, and that's one of the things, too, that the reason I love Family Week is Malcolm talks about hope. And, you know, when our families come in for orientation on Sunday, they're just lost. You know, they're a sponge. They want to know how to help. And by when they're done on Thursday, it's just that night and day, and they continue to have that hope. And you're right. Sometimes people don't know where to turn, but Family Week can be the first step. So even if it's not you in treatment, but your family members are, we have lots of things to help.
So many options there.
Absolutely.
Get a hold of Rimrock, you guys. What's the best way to reach out to you guys? Rimrock.com?
Rimrock.org.
We do.
And that's one thing that's really, we're really excited about, because people can, 3 o'clock in the morning and they want information, they can send it to us. And boy, I'll tell you, by 8 o'clock the next morning, somebody's getting hold of them. Or you can call us 248-3175. Get hold of you guys on the app. You'll send them our way. We can't say it enough. Just ask the questions.
There you go.
We're here to help.
Ladies, thank you so much for coming up.
Thanks
for
having
doing
us.
Good work.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We'll keep reminding you guys about the drug take back. If you have any pills that you need to get rid of, prescription, non-prescription, old, young, whatever they may be, we'll point you in the right direction if you forget those details. Coming up next, some Sam Smith on Hot.
The Big J Show on Hot 101.9.